We've got a series, a consideration of growing up in our Lord. Growing up. We need to grow up in Him. And we're talking about, most recently, about our daily walk with the Lord. And we're at that point of dealing with the Word of God and about reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, and what those things mean. And tonight, I'm compelled to just take a little turn from that. It's related to it, but there'll be other things here for us to learn and to understand. And it's kind of a, consider this also kind of an example of studying and how to go to the Scriptures and mine out what's there. Always remember, as you study and you look and you read and you study the Word of God, to be bathe that in prayer, to be praying, Lord, show me things that you've shown me before, show me, renew those things, and show me things that I've not ever seen before. And understand, when we say that, when I say that, show me things that I haven't seen before, we're not looking for some kind of mystical, esoteric kind of doctrine that's only understood by a few people ever. This word has been around for a long, long time, and all that the Lord wants us to have, He's given unto us. And there are others that have understood these doctrines and these principles long before you and I ever came on the scene. But you know what? We are blessed when we are caused to understand them and to be convicted and have conviction to take them and apply them to our lives, to our families, to our church. And so we need the Lord's blessing. And so as you read, as you study, as we do so, may we always be in prayer and to our Lord that the Lord would speak to us. I mean, He is speaking to us through His Word, but that He would teach us. I mean, that's the desire that we have. Our brethren pray that way, and I think that's a good thing. I want to be a mouthpiece in the Lord's use. It's not about me. It's about our Lord and what He has to say unto us. And it's pleased the Lord to use these means. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're just going to take a look at something here, some nuggets that are in this, and in a way, again, of considering about studying. And we've got to pay attention to the words. The words have been there for all of us. The words have been there all our whole lives. But then sometimes you see it. The Lord blesses us. He presses it upon us. He reveals some things that we've never seen before, an application of such. And in this first chapter of the book of Philippians, we want to consider something like that. And also see here about one aspect, one way of study. When you read a chapter and understand the chapters we have and the verses that we have, we're not there originally. We have that so we can navigate and get around easily, be able to go back to that same place. Can you imagine if we had this in paragraph form? We can have difficulty now, but if it was in paragraph form, whoa, would we have some difficulty? At least I would. And so, as you read, you know, be thinking, be watching, be considering. What's the theme? What's the theme of the book? What's the theme of the chapter? What's the theme of the passage? Maybe there's a couple things that are in there. Always be thinking about that. And when the Lord shows you some of those things, go to your notebook, go to the front of your Bible, go wherever it is, go to your computer, your device, whatever it is, and make those notes about that. Make those notes about that. I think that's a good thing. Up here, most folks, and maybe some wouldn't want to write in their Bibles. Maybe that's the case. I like to write in my Bible. You need to be real neat about it so you can understand it later on. But you know, what is the theme? And always remember context. And we're going to talk about those things in services to come. But here at Philippi, the apostle is writing to them, seemingly being captive in Rome, and there's a theme here about this book, okay? And so we want to look for that and see what that is. You can read about the church at Philippi, Acts chapter 16 and Acts chapter 20. He visited them, the apostle did, at first at their forming in Acts chapter 16, and then revisited them in this third missionary journey in Acts chapter 20. And so you can take a look at that and consider that. I think that's always good too, these epistles to the churches. Go back to Acts and see the beginning. See the reference that is there. Okay, quickly. Philippi, in Macedonia, north of the Aegean Sea, up there in the land that Alexander the Great came from, all right? That's where this church is and where these people are. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. So we see who's being written to. And since it's being written to a church, it applies to Olmsted Baptist Church. Okay? So we know that. With the bishops or pastors and deacons. Yes. There can be more than one pastor of a church. Now, in our culture, in our day, we just pretty much know that there's just one pastor. Maybe some churches have an associate pastor and to help the pastor in the ministry. But you know what? There can be a number of pastors, and that's not unscriptural by any means. Also the deacons, and we understand about their role and work and purpose. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And so he's remembering back there in Acts 16. That's our reference. He's thinking about when he first met them. He's thinking about the jailer, right? The Philippian jailer. He's maybe thinking about Lydia, certainly, and her household, right? And so going over there in Acts gives us that information. He remembers back at that. What a pleasant, wonderful thing of the working of the Lord amongst them. He said, I thank my God I'm on every remembrance of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Listen, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I think we see a theme here in this. Your fellowship in the gospel, fellowship in the gospel. I have taken in my Bible for this chapter, and I've just made an acronym for that. I'm not saying that you have to, but the Lord some time ago impressed that upon me, taught me this, about the consideration of this fellowship in the gospel. What is the fellowship in the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have fellowship in that? Well, we have fellowship one with another. But what is there anything else? Now, we have fellowship with our Lord indeed, right? Because of his gospel, his salvation upon us. He says that these have this fellowship in the gospel, this relationship to the gospel of Christ, in the gospel of Christ, from the first day. When Paul and the brother that was with him went down there and preached to Lydia. And then her household was saved too. Being locked up in jail, and the Philippian jailer was moved upon by the Lord and convicted, was he not? And took them home and cleaned them up, and the word of God went out to his household. They've had fellowship in the gospel. I wonder about that brother, that jailer. Wonder what having dealing with these prisoners in that way and this change upon him and being saved in his household, wonder what kind of effect that had with his job and his position amongst the Roman government at that time. So this fellowship in the gospel, let's look here what we see quickly. We're just going to have to go quickly tonight. Being confident of this very thing, this is a hallmark passage, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So look at that. For the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace, the favor of God upon Paul and upon them. So we see here, this verse number 6, a hallmark passage, and we look to that. We know when the Lord begins to work indeed in the salvation of the soul, he's going to accomplish it. I think the greater context that we see there here, though, is after the Lord has saved the sinner, he will cause them to persevere. They will persevere themselves. Now, how will we persevere? I tell you what, We will be conformed. Those that are saved will be conformed to the image of Christ. We will be. But I tell you, my position and my understanding from the Scriptures is we can go at a good road and an obedient road, or we can go at a disobedient road. You know what? The Lord's going to bring us on. And the saints will persevere. They will. But some of it can be ugly. And some of it can be greatly blessed. And we have those examples in the Scriptures. Samson. Did he not persevere? Well, he did. It was ugly there in the middle, though, wasn't it? It was. It was. So we see this fellowship in the gospel and this promise of the working of the Lord within us. You know, do you ask the Lord, do you and I ask the Lord to work in us? The Lord still needs to work in us. He saved us, but we still need to be changed. We need to be touched. We need to be filled. We need to be convicted. We need motivation. We need that which we need to overcome this old flesh. And so the Lord has begun this work and He will perform it. Do we desire our Lord to perform it, we that claim the name of Christ? Verse number 7, as we says here, even it is me, continuing the sentence, for me to think this of you all, this fellowship of the gospel, because I have you in my heart. He thinks of them often, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. I think here we see another reference about this fellowship in the gospel, the defense and confirmation of such. Not that the gospel is weak and needs to be protected or defended by you and I, but that we take it and we proclaim it. We declare it. As the Lord's people, the Lord's church, we take that and we, apologia is the Greek word, we give an answer and a plea to sinners that Christ is the Savior and they need the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or they have no hope. And so the defense, the confirmation, He has saved me. He has saved us. He has changed us. Didn't you know? The witness would be how we were before, and now we've been changed and rescued by our Lord. And defense and confirmation of the gospel is that fellowship in the gospels. You all are partakers of my grace. God's favor upon Paul, the Lord led him to Philippi, and the brother was used of the Lord to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? In that, the Lord was gracious to them, too. Just like us. Just like us. For God is my record, verse 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. We see another thing here, don't we? Fellowship in the gospel. He longs to see them. He longs to be near them. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That fellowship of the gospel gives the saints a love one for the other. Even those of different churches of the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, siblings in Christ, children of God, we have a longing and a desire one for another. We should. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Here we see an aspect of the fellowship of the gospel, that there's growth. Fellowship with the gospel, by the design and purpose of the Lord, will yield growth. Knowledge. We learn more about Jesus. We sing about more about Jesus, would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. Amen? And so there's in the fellowship of the gospel, there is more knowledge. And what's this? That you may abound, that your love may abound, and more in knowledge and all judgment. You know, we make judgments. I touched on that some time ago, and just for sake of review, in regards to judgment, there's two aspects. Brother Doug's teaching on the law of God in Sunday school classes, the adult Sunday school class. God has said the way it is. Boom. And you know what? Things are the way that they are because of what God has said. And if you and I will hear and believe what God has said, we will know the truth. We will know it for ourselves, and we will know it for others. Now, in our help of others, our brothers and sisters, and then those that are not saved, we need to be wise and right and have the fruit of the Spirit in dealing with others. And do that well, because remember, we are the only ones that have the truth to tell the truth. The saved, the Lord's churches, the children of God and the Lord's churches and the commission that He's given. Because who else has the truth? Not the heathen. Not those that are without the Lord. Not those that have not been touched by the Spirit of God and saved, right? And so there are judgments that we make where we say, not I think this or I think that, but as an example, Brother John the Baptist said, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife for your wife. Not what John thought was good or bad, but what God said. See, that's an aspect of judgment, the call about whether it lines up or not with what God has said, not our opinion. The other aspect of judgment is this, the punishment for it. We're not even involved. We're not involved there. We make the call and we see from the Lord teaching us with His Word that God says that this is right or God says this is wrong. And as the Lord instructs us, not to be hypocritical, not to say that God says it shouldn't be this way and that's what you all need to do and yet I'd be guilty of it. So we're not, the Lord's very plain about hypocrisy. And so here we see in this fellowship of the gospel that there is a growth in knowledge and in all judgment by the word of God. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. That's of the Lord. That's a blessing. That ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Fellowship in the gospel will cause us to be a meek people. Not a proud people, but a very controlled people. Again, always pointing to what the Lord says. The Lord says this. The Word of God says this. And a light unto a lost and dying world round about us. A help and a witness one to another. We are to provoke one another to love and good works. That's our witness amongst one another. Approve things that are excellent. Yes, amen. That's great. That's wonderful. And be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. And self-controlled and meek in humility. Not what I think again, but you know what? Brother, sister, consider what the Lord says about this. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for us and whatever the issue may be. They may prove all things. Verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Here we see something else from this fellowship in the gospel, that because of this, that we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit of God, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. That's what it's all about, is glorifying the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Manifest the fruit of the Spirit to honor and glorify our Lord. Not to look good. It's not about us looking good. It's about our Lord being praised. And an old wretch like you and I could be taken and be used of God in a way that would be a witness and glorification of Him. See this fellowship in the gospel? It's multifaceted, isn't it? It's multifaceted, this fellowship. See, fellowship is talking about being near to. Fellowship is talking about being affected by. We enjoy one another's company, don't we? When we are not together, do we enjoy that company? We can't. Because we're distant at that point, physically. But when we come together, we're generally smiling and glad to see one another, and we are refreshed by that fellowship in the gospel. Nearness to the things of the gospel of Christ and what that brings unto us. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, verse 11, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Attitude. Paul's attitude is the attitude that's right and is great. That's that fellowship in the gospel. It's hard on his body, all those things that he's gone through, the threat of death at hand. But the fellowship of the gospel says, this is the working of God to get at the Caesar's household, to reach the elect of the Lord, to reach those that the Lord will save. Don't know who they are, but the Lord does, and he's taken and he's steered my life to bring me into them and open my mouth to tell them of the Lord's power to save. Fellowship in the gospel. He said the furtherance of it, his attitude about that, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Looky there. There's another aspect, isn't it? His bonds in Christ are manifest. How many prisoners do you think Caesar had at the time that Brother Paul was a prisoner too? I would venture hundreds. But look how this one stood out. Amen? The fellowship of the gospel that our brother Paul enjoyed and was involved with and called unto manifested itself. It shone. It shone, didn't it? Because it's real. It's in him. It's manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident. Looky there. Fellowship in the gospel will bring confidence. Brother Paul, his attitude is not doom and gloom, but he says, go on and preach. Don't worry about what it does to me. Don't worry about the Romans would probably look at it and in the government of our day would look at it as a political position. He said, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his good word, don't worry about what it does to me and the impact it has on me. Tell it. His attitude towards the brethren that are not bound, tell it. His confidence is causing them to wax confident. The courage that he has is causing them to be courageous. He says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what? Some of them, I think of this passage, that verse, I think about it being the brethren in the church there at Philippi out in the community. You know what? It could very well have been those in Caesar's household, too. Or the church at Rome, I should say. Because that's where he is. And he's telling them in Philippi about those in Rome. Okay? Some indeed preach Christ of even of envy and strife. And we understand about them. They're just looking to take and make it harder on Paul because they dislike him. They hate him. They hate that way. Isn't that something? That the heathen would undertake to preach the gospel of Christ to increase the heat on Brother Paul. And you know what? It doesn't matter whose mouth it is. It goes out and it's true. If it's preached and it's truth. Isn't that something? Isn't that something about the power of the Word of God? He said, and some also of good will. That's the right thing to do. It's what we're called to. Fellowship in the gospel. Those brethren preaching it of good will, they have that fellowship in the gospel of Christ. They are there too, involved in being near to the gospel, believing. What did he write to the church at Rome? Earlier on, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. And the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, Verse 16, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, those earlier in verse number 15, but the other of love. Ha! Here we see another aspect of the fellowship of the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel is that of love. They love Brother Paul, and they love their Lord. And they understand that the Lord is in control. And they understand that it takes, sometimes the Lord takes extreme and difficult and pressured situations to break and to reach the souls of sinners. And that's what the Lord has called us into. Just like Jesus. Just like our Lord Jesus went through. Did not our Lord Jesus go through a most difficult time and trial, if you will, and purpose to bring us salvation? So it may be that we go through a difficult thing to carry the word to others. And they see, I pray, they see our boldness, our love. And they say, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense. Here we see it again, this word apologia, the answer, the plea of the gospel, the necessity of the gospel. They preach of love for the Lord and the calling of the Lord. And understand that Paul is set for those things that the Lord will bring or allow unto him. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense by those that are ill affected, or in truth, those brethren that love and are in that, have that fellowship in the gospel, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Nothing better than the gospel being preached. Nothing better. No greater words can go out than that of our Lord Jesus and the so great salvation that he brings. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. So here we see this of their praying for him. It'll be the ultimate use of the Lord when the Lord takes him on, however it is, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, this shall turn to my salvation. Is Paul saying that his salvation is going to be accomplished by this? Understand, there's the salvation of the soul, and there's the salvation of the life. Witness, testimony, use of this carnality, as Brother Peter says, for the rest of the time that we have, from the time that the Lord saves us. A vessel to honor or a vessel to dishonor? The flesh is going to die. You know what? It can be used. And the witness and the testimony of life can be used for the Lord and in that sense saved. For I know this shall turn to my salvation. Whatever the Lord has in store for me and you pushing on, that fellowship in the gospel. See, it's all about the Lord and what he's called to through your prayer for him and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In that fellowship of the gospel, I tell you what, the Spirit is key, isn't it? Isn't he? The Spirit of God is key. That wind, the Lord likens it into a wind that blows. We don't know where it's coming from, don't know where it's going, but we see the effect. That person has been touched. They've been changed. They've been affected by this. They believe this unto death. According to my earnest expectation, verse 20, and my hope, the promises of our Lord, and nothing that in nothing I shall be ashamed, no confusion, no blush, and that with all boldness, as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, there you go, whether it be by life or by death. Fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel will cause us to have that opinion about ourselves. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Fellowship in the gospel. I tell you what, there's a lot in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ, isn't there? For to me is to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Another hallmark passage. Another hallmark passage there. For me to live is Christ, That's the fellowship in the gospel. For me to live and do His bidding and do His will represents Him. And for me to die, the fellowship in the gospel is He's going to take me on to be with Him. Because He died for me. He was buried for me. He rose from the grave for me. I'll tell you what, the fellowship in the gospel is not a distant thing. It's a close thing, isn't it? It's a close thing. It's a soul affair, is it not? A spiritual thing that manifests itself physically. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. He desires that Christ would be magnified in whatever way, whether it be in His body by life or by dying. Fellowship in the gospel. That's what Christ did, wasn't it? But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Here, another mention about fruit. There's fruit. Yet what I choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you there at Philippi. So as the apostle of the Lord, he's not... The apostle's not head up about himself, but he knows the calling. He understands the calling and apostleship that he has to be a teacher of these churches in this infancy of the church age. And for more instruction and more teaching to the churches and the people of God in the Lord's churches is what they need. What they need. It's what we need today. Remember, the scriptures to the churches are being written. They're not collected in a book like you and I have them, but it's happening. When it first arrived at the church at Philippi, that was the first time it was read by the saints in the Lord's churches. Other than those maybe looking over Brother Paul's shoulder, there in Rome. He said, I'm in a strait between two. He said, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. That's what the fellowship in the gospel does for the child of God. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain, I want to go see my Savior. But if I live in the flesh, verse 22, this is the fruit of my labor, ministering to you, ministering to those that are here near me in Rome. Yet what I choose, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know which one. If you pin me down, I don't know which one. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to go on to be with Christ, to depart. That's the best. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Isn't that something? He says, I want to go on. But I know you need some teaching and instruction too. And again, he's not heady, he's not proud, he's not stuck on himself. But it's good to give for the sake of the Lord and His ministry. I could go on to be with Christ and there it'll be. Faith will be turned into sight. But you know what? Maybe it's better, even though I suffer in the flesh, it's just better for me to stay here for you. Fellowship in the gospel will cause one to give of themselves, even though the greatest, most wonderful thing before us of seeing our Savior face to face, and of course we know and trust it's all in the Lord's hands. And having this confidence, verse number 22, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, by my coming to you again. Our Lord can work it out that I can get out of here if He wants me to. And you know what? That really would be the best, wouldn't it? For us to see one another again. For the Lord's power to be upon me and to deliver me even from Caesar. Wouldn't that be rejoicing? Wouldn't that be yet more praise and honor and glory to our Lord? And then we, in that fellowship of the gospel, see one another again. And I can be there in your presence to fellowship with you and to teach you, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. We thought he was going on, and the Lord brought him to us. Now, we understand that didn't happen, but there was a hope there. Only let your conversation, what you think and what you say and what you do, be as becometh the gospel of Christ, representative of the Lord Jesus and that fellowship in the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Our lives need to match. What we say and think and do needs to match the witness and the testimony of Christ. As brothers prayed recently, Lord, help us that we wouldn't be hypocritical. I tell you what, that's a good prayer in every respect. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Help me not to be hypocritical. We're prone to it. This old man. He says, check your conversation and make it be as it becometh the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That's that fellowship in the gospel. That whether I come and see you or I don't, else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, the report, that you stand fast in one spirit and that of the Lord, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. Faith in the gospel. Isn't that interesting? We trust our Lord and what He's done for us and the message of that into a lost and dying world, that by that He saved us and by that He can save others. What else is more important? What else has such eternal significance? What else is there but that? Faith for the faith, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I pray the Lord to help us in that. You know what this striving together for the faith of the gospel, you know what I believe another word for that is? It's conviction. This isn't just something we talk about, but this is something that we do, that we're rolled up and wrapped up in, and we have no choice in. There's no other way to go but this faith of the gospel, striving together for such. Listen to this. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, they're at hand, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You hear what that's saying? He says, striving together for the faith in the gospel, and they're going to say, you're crazy. You are nuts for following after that. They would say, following after a dead man, raised from the dead, bah! That would be their opinion. It's crazy. You're wasting your life, the world would say. And that, their faithfulness and their striving together and their abiding by and looking to Christ and loving Christ and witnessing of Christ and praying unto the Lord and obeying Him. Remember, in Philippi, it was a heathen, pagan place. And these people were changed. They stood out. They shone. They did shine, did they not? They're in that place. And people, there are those adversaries that are saying, what is wrong with you all? But don't be terrified by them. What you do, what you pursue, they just think that you're crazy, the perdition. You're lost. You're gone. It's a waste. But you know what? That standing in Christ and that fellowship in His gospel, it's by that we know we're saved. It's one aspect of it. That we know that we're saved. We're convicted of the Lord that this is the way that we need to go. This is what we need to follow in. And convicted of following Christ. It said, an evident token of perdition, but unto you of salvation. This is what we do for Christ because He's commanded us. He's directed us. We love Him and He loves us. And we do so because He first loved us. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, verse 29, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, Yeah, in the fellowship in the gospel, there's suffering. A whole wide range of such. Having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. I can't remember how it went there in Acts chapter 16 in particular. I didn't go and review that. The Lord impressed me to preach this just as we were coming over for services. But you know, I trust you know the accounts in the book of Acts, how that for many, many times and visits to cities, that Paul and those that were with him were on the run to the next city. You remember that? They would come in and preach Christ. It would be an upheaval of the culture and the way of the city and the people in the city. There would be those adversaries against this of the Lord Jesus, and there would be a turmoil and a strife because of it. In Philippi, he was beaten. And they saw that. You know what? Now it's going on with them. They're being beaten. Isn't that what he says? He says, not only is it given to you to believe, but to suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me, he says, you've got the same thing. You're being abused by the world for the sake of Christ. They themselves are experiencing what Paul did while with them and presently in Rome. Fellowship in the gospel. It's as we read and we study the Word of God, especially as we study, we need to read, we need to fill up on it. But as we study, we need to slow down. One brother told me years ago, take a look at the verbs. Take a look at the action in the Scripture. And associate with the action with the subjects. And see what's going on. That's just one thing. Slow down. And ask the Lord, bathe it in prayer, that the Lord would show and reveal that. Here's one example about understanding about the faith in the gospel. There's a lot involved in the fellowship of the gospel, rather, isn't there? Fellowship in the gospel and the faith in the gospel. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have, if one does not have fellowship in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only fellowship that they have is with wickedness and sin and depravity and destruction. And that's not a pretty picture, is it? That's the way it was with us before the Lord saved us. But if you're here and you're not saved, and the Lord has shown you that is the fellowship that you have. Oh, you may have some appealing and good times to the flesh in this world, but I tell you what, if you're honest, you already know that they don't last. There's certainly nothing to base an eternity on. But I tell you what, fellowship in the gospel by Jesus Christ and what he's done for sinners on his death, burial, and resurrection. Fellowship in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the help and the hope for the sinner, and the help and the hope and the calling for the child of God, and the blessings and the promises by our Lord upon his children. I'm thankful to be in that fellowship of the gospel, aren't you? We pray if you're here and you're not saved that you'll look to Christ, repent of your sins, and trust in him.